Thank you for reading, Josh. I'm going to be speaking from that passage on the topic of united in worth. As far as worth is concerned, who are the people who are most valuable to me? I think the first and obvious answer has to be family, but I think also all of you guys as well, kind of my church, people who I value greatly too. You are my job and you do pay me, but it's also a joy to be looking after and pastoring you all as well. It is those questions of value and the worth of human beings that we are going to be exploring today. And we're going to be seeing how God sees things as far as worth and value of humans is concerned. And I think this is especially relevant for our divided and polarized world that we often see with all sorts of arguments on both sides of kind of every debate as well. And so I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word. Please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, that we are all your offspring. We are all your children. Lord, we thank you that you value us and that you love us. And we pray that we may be reminded of that today, that we may be encouraged to remember this in our dealings with all people, knowing that they are all made in your image. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was an airplane that was about to crash. There were four passengers on board, but only three parachutes. The first passenger said, "I am a leading heart surgeon. My patients need me." And so he takes one parachute and he jumps out of the plane. The second passenger says, "I am a leading rocket scientist. I am one of the most brilliant men alive. My country needs me." And so he takes another parachute and jumps out of the plane. There are just two people left in the plane, a priest and a 10-year-old boy. The priest says to the boy, "Son, I am old and I have lived a good and happy life. You take the last parachute and jump out of the plane." And the boy says, "Sir, don't worry. We can each have a parachute. The rocket scientist jumped out with my backpack." How do you determine if one human life is worth more than another? Are the heart surgeon and rocket scientist right when they say that people are worth more because of the value of the work that they do? Or is the priest right when he says that the young boy is worth more because of his potential and the life that he has before him? Are some human lives worth more than others? You know, we certainly seem to think so in our society, don't we? We judge people by their value, by their productivity, by their health, by their age. And we live in a divided and polarized world as well. People draw borders along the lines of race, religion, politics and ideology, and people pick sides on each of these debates. We are forced to choose between Israel or Palestine, between Labour or Liberal, between Russia or Ukraine, between black and white, and the other side, the people who are not us, we kind of act like they're worth less than us. They're called deplorables, or the swamp, or animals and savages, or barbarians, with the underlying message being we should exist, but those people should not exist. They are worthless. The world would be better if it just contained our type of people. But God has something to say into our divided and polarized world. He says that the kind of condemnation and contempt that people have of each other is not what he has made us for. And he's got another way for us to see the world that is better and healthier for us. God shows us from the Bible that we are united in worth. And that is what we see in the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Now, the Bible is one book, but it is made up of 66 different books. And Genesis is the very first book. It is the Greek word for beginning. And there are a lot of beginnings in the book of Genesis. So Genesis contains the beginning of our universe, the beginning of people, the beginning of all the problems and struggles that we face in the world. But it also contains the beginning of God's plan to fix the world through Jesus. When you read through the book of Genesis, it doesn't take God very long for him to show us how much he values us. And God shows us how much he values us and cares for us by using the words that we are all made in his image. And that is what we see in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. If you were to look at humans completely logically, completely rationally, from a completely material point of view, you would have no evidence that humans are of any real value. Right? We are not that different from animals. Arguably, we are worse than animals. Right? I think of some of the sick things that humans do to each other, and I do not see that in the animal kingdom. Human DNA is about 90% similar to chimpanzees and 40% similar to bananas. People have calculated the value of the raw materials that make up a human being. They've concluded that each of us has about maybe $30 worth of minerals in us, right? Life, literally, is cheap. We have very little value in the grand scheme of the world. But what we see in this part of the Bible is that for every human being, God has taken that $30 worth of stuff and has fashioned it into something of immense value. You know, this is like an artist taking $30 worth of cheap paints from the craft shop and painting an Archibald Prize-winning painting. It says in verse 26 and 27, God has fashioned us in his image. All of us are precious artworks or statues that reflect God in some way. And that means that we as human beings are worth much more than the sum of our parts. In God's eyes, you cannot place a dollar value on how much a human life is worth. People place dollar values on people all the time in our world, don't they? I think of all those celebrity auctions where, you know, people bid on an opportunity to spend time with someone famous. A tennis lesson from the tennis champion Andre Agassi fetched $100,000 at auction. A day with former President Bill Clinton costs you $124,000. And for just one lunch with Warren Buffett, someone paid $2.63 million. By the way, if anyone wants a dinner with me, bidding starts at $1,000. Though if you do so, you might make my wife, Jen, angry. Or on the other hand, she might just say, "Nah, you can take him, that's fine." But what God is saying here is that for all of us, the value of a human being is even more than $2.63 million. If man and women are created in God's image, then the value of a human being is God. Because we are made in God's image, we are meant to treat each other as being as precious as God himself. And this is all human beings. All humans are in God's image. It's not like God gives you a percentage score of how much you are in his image. The Bible never does that. In the Bible, you are either in God's image or you are not. And if you are a human being, all of us are. And that means that all of us are united in worth. Whatever country you come from, whatever your strength or brains or attractiveness or health, whatever side of whatever debate you are on, we are united in value because all of us are made in God's image. And God takes his image very seriously. He cares when people treat his image or treat his children with disrespect or contempt or carelessness. Because the theme through the Bible is that the way you treat people is the way you treat God. Let me show you Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. This is a little bit later in the book of Genesis because it doesn't take long for humans to start thinking that it's a good idea to start killing each other. And God has stern words to say to that. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." You know, it is a grievous sin to kill another human being. It is bad enough that if you do it, you have forfeited your own right to life. Getting rid of another human being is more than just disposing of $30 of raw material. You are disposing of something made in the image of God. You are destroying God. You are making a statement that God can be disposed of. But it goes even further than that, because a lot later in the Bible, James chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, talking about the way that we speak, it goes, no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Now you see the logic there. If people are made in God's image, not only is it wrong to kill them, it is also wrong to curse them. It is wrong to show contempt for people, to speak cruelly about people, whether it is to their face or behind their back. They are made in the image of God. The basic idea here is that if you disrespect the image, you disrespect the person. Recently, a portrait of King Charles was commissioned, and it didn't take long before animal rights activists pasted over the picture with one of their statements. This was an act of protest, right? Like a statement was being made. But have a think, from their perspective, who do you think that protest or that statement was directed to? Now, it's certainly not a statement against the museum, right? They don't really care about that. And I don't really think it's against the artist who painted the painting either, right? The disrespect is directed against the king. You disrespect the image, you disrespect the person. And that is what we do. When we show scorn or derision or disrespect or ignorance of people, we're not just showing contempt of them, we're showing contempt of God. Because you disrespect the image and you disrespect the person. From James chapter 3 as well, then, we don't get to say that we love God while at the same time disrespecting his image. Those things don't go together. I have a son. His name is James. He looks a little bit like me, though most people think he looks a bit more like Jen. But you could say that my son bears my image. If you insult my son, how would you expect me to feel? You know, do you think it's really going to help if you say to me, hey, Mike, like, I really respect you as a person, but that son of yours, man, like, he is terrible, right? Like, that doesn't work, does it? It might work the other way, though. Like, you might become friends with James by hating on me, but the point is that it doesn't work with me. You don't love me by hating my children. You love me by loving my children. And it's the same with God and those in his image as well, for we are all his children. All human beings are made in God's image. We are all deserving of dignity and value and honor. We don't give people dignity and honor. They already have dignity and honor. We just recognize what they already have. And a person's dignity doesn't reside in their productivity or their beauty or their potential. Their dignity is just because they are human. People will often say of another person, they are not worthy of my respect. They have not earned my respect. But they don't need to earn it, because God has made them in his image. And this is the way that Jesus lived as well. The Bible says that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Jesus was the one who lived exactly like God wanted him to live. And Jesus treated all people with dignity. Even the lowliest. People with leprosy, foreigners, prostitutes, children, and greedy villains like tax collectors as well. Jesus gave all of them a chance. He never ignored them. He never disrespected people made in the image of God. And we are not meant to either. And so there are a few lessons that we can take away, I think, from this truth that God has made us in his image, about us being united in value. And the first one is that you are not worthless. You know, you might not be a leading heart surgeon or a rocket scientist or a baby with their whole life before them, but none of that matters to God. You are precious and valuable to God simply because of who you are as a human being. God has made you in his image and he cares for you. You might have heard the opposite message for much of your life, maybe from parents or other kids at school or people on the internet. As someone who's been on the receiving end of a little bit of that, like I know that that is not fun. But what you have here is the solid proof that all those people are wrong. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how weak you are. It doesn't matter what you have or haven't achieved. God thinks that you are worth it. And in this church, you will find people who think that you are worth it too. You are not worthless. But if you're not worthless, then I think the obvious next thing that we've got to take away is that other people aren't worthless either. We were not made to only value the people who were close to us. We don't only value the people who can help us in our careers, and we don't only value the people who like the things we like. We don't only value the people who are on our side. God values all people. And as much as we can, we are meant to value all people too. Now, this doesn't mean you have to agree with everyone. You know, you can't do that. But what it does mean is that we are meant to treat everyone with respect and dignity. It means not closing off your heart to people. It means listening to people and helping them if they need it. It means treating everyone as worthy and valuable and interesting. Everyone is worth our time, and none of these things need to be earned from us. And you might be pro-Israel, you might be pro-Palestine, you might be pro-Labor or pro-Liberal. Being pro-human is more important. Loving people made in the image of God is more important than loving an ideology. We are all united in worth. And then finally, one last challenge. You've just seen from the Bible how being made in God's image gives meaning and value to human existence, right? With God, there is actually a basis for us treating each other with dignity and compassion and cooperation and fellowship. But if that sounds good to you, I want you to remember that you are made in the image of God. You are not made in the image of anyone else. You know those icebreaker questions that people ask about, you know, if you could have five people over for dinner, who would they be? Or who has been the greatest influence on you? Or who are the people who you admire most, right? Like, all those questions are kind of geared at getting out who we follow, who we imitate, who we copy, who we want to be in the image of. And all of us have these people who we imitate, whether consciously or unconsciously. But you're not made in the image of any of those people. You're made in God's image. And you are meant to imitate him. At Cross Life Church, part of what we're doing is learning and getting the strength to live out that image to the world. And so let me challenge you to live the life that you are meant to live. Not shaping yourself in your own image or in the image of others, but after the image of God. Read God's word with us and let it shape you like it's shaped us to follow God and be his image in his world. Very early on in the United States Declaration of Independence, the words exist. It goes, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's taken a few hundred years for us to recognize that these truths are not as self-evident as we thought. We don't treat people as if they're all created equal. And we need God to remind us that we are all made in his image. It reminds us that we are loved and valued. It helps us to love and value others. And it helps our walls of division to just not matter so much. It makes us better people to be united in worth. Let me pray that that is what we'll be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us in your image. Thank you that we are worth something. Thank you that our existence has meaning and purpose in this grand universe that you have created. And thank you that you have given us this great responsibility to reflect this image in your world. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may be people who recognize that we are precious and valuable to you. Please guard us against this kind of self-pity or cynicism that causes us to devalue ourselves. And Lord, we pray that may motivate us to live the lives that we're meant to live. Please also guard us against contempt and condemnation of those around us, whether they're on our side or not. Lord, we pray that we may remember that you have created them, that you have endowed them with your image. And Lord, we pray that therefore we may treat them with the dignity and respect that they deserve as people who are made in that image. And Lord, we pray that that may be in perfect sync with the way that we claim to love you and follow you as well. Please help us, Lord, to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to give to you what is yours, and to therefore give our lives to you too, knowing that we are made in your image. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.